Okay, I have a question for you. So if an owl just whizzed into your house with a letter from Hogwarts that confirmed your magical powers, what would you use them for? What changes would you wave your wand and make? You know, what are the things about your field, your industry, your sector that you have been wanting to disrupt and you've been imagining something new? If you're listening to this, you probably have a vision for a more just future that you want to see. But as we bump up against the guardrails and the barriers that are baked into our systems that were all designed to be there to maintain the status quo, we become unsure. We have imposter thoughts. We start feeling that self-fulfilling loop of perfectionism and procrastination. Essentially, we forget our magic and we forget our potential to shape change. But we don't actually need a letter from Hogwarts. We have always been magical because we already have the lived experience, the stories, the passion, and the credibility to spark a ripple effect towards that future. And sometimes we need a little bit of strategy support in getting that magic out into the world. And other times we have just forgotten or straight up don't believe that we have that level of change-making capacity. And that's not actually our fault. You know, we talk a lot about self-limiting beliefs, but I would really like to reframe and reintroduce them as systematically limited beliefs because they're actually not from ourselves, right? Instead, they're a normal and natural protective response to the systems that we live in, which all have sexism, racism, and all kinds of intersecting isms baked into them. And recently, as I launched the Kindling Collective, a 6-month intensive for social impact and entrepreneurs who are wanting to show up and lead as trusted voices on LinkedIn to spark change and raise revenue, I had a chance to really observe these beliefs because your notes from your applications, from conversations I had with y'all in the DMs, and now the deep and tender work that I have the privilege of doing with clients inside the program have really reconfirmed my why and the deeper problem that I solve, which is that the folks who are working closest to the problems that they solve have the right solutions that are based in their lived leadership and their story. They're just not always in traditional seats of power that come along with the influence needed to make those changes at scale. So in this episode, I want to talk about the 4 most common barriers I hear and work with. And sometimes there's this true strategy issue behind that barrier that can be remedied. And sometimes it's our old friend, the inner chaperone, who is just trying to keep us safe. So I'm going to offer up some suggestions that have been helpful for me personally and my clients for the next time these thoughts and these energies come up, whether it's a strategy thing for you or a belief thing. So how does that sound? Let's get into it. Three, two, one. Welcome to the Campfire Circle. I'm your host, Tanya Bhattacharya, and I empower purpose-driven women in building influential personal brands that drive change and raise revenue. We all talk about getting a seat at the table, but why though? Who wants to sit in a stuffy boardroom anyway? Let's reimagine the ultimate space of leadership as a campfire circle, where we share stories that inspire movements, build brave communities to huddle together with for warmth, and where there is always room. Come sit with us. Okay, the big 4 barriers. So consider if any of these or a combination of these are showing up for you in any kind of way. And if they are, I want you to try to release any potential guilt or shame around that. Because again, these feelings are not actually yours, right? They have been instilled over years, decades, maybe generations, honestly, of being told and shown that we don't belong in those positions of power and influence. And I have, you know, like an infinite number of examples, specific examples that I could share from my story, from the people that I work with. You probably have some as well, from, you know, consistently being assigned the coffee picker upper or air traffic controller for an important meeting when you're the executive leading a part of the agenda, right? Or you're told consistently in performance reviews that you don't have leadership presence, yet you haven't been given an opportunity to share that leadership presence in a visible way, right? Or maybe you are assumed to be an assistant of the white male colleague sitting next to you when you're actually, you know, maybe even their boss, right? These are all stories that I hear often. And those kinds of things are, of course, going to prompt some kind of this protective response or an inner chaperone who is really just trying to keep us safe from future bias, marginalization, and these shitty experiences. So again, it's not our fault if openly, visibly, and boldly starting to share our opinion and expertise can be anxiety provoking, especially in a place like LinkedIn. And I personally believe that if we choose to have a social impact through our consultancy, through our business, that it's also our responsibility to practice getting 1% more brave and stretch ourselves with these actions so that we can attract a community who can make our mission happen with and alongside us. So the first barrier that I hear, the vibe of this comes out sounding something like, I don't have anything to say. Like, what do I even talk about? And so from a strategy perspective, if you're working towards positioning yourself as a go-to voice or an approachable authority, it's very possible that you are not yet quite centered on what exactly you want to be known for. Or maybe your niche isn't clearly defined yet or it's evolving. And so, you know, if you don't have clarity in who you serve or why you serve them, it can be really hard to know what to say or how to say it or where to start. And so from that point of view, the strategic piece of getting clarity around your foundational brand message will solve that issue. And what I mean by that, by getting, you know, what does getting clarity on your foundational brand message mean? So a couple things. So I think first, you got to come up with that clear yet specific vision for the world that you're trying to create and really put words to your mission and your positioning in the market. And then settling into that niche of who you serve, which you could also think of the people that you stand for, right? And maybe you can do this, you know, by taking a deeper look at your own story, your own mosaic of lived experience, because after all, we are the most well-equipped to serve the person that we have been, or maybe that we still are, right? And part of that includes crafting your powerful origin story or brand story or founder story that really positions you as that guide, that Dumbledore, that makes the right people see themselves reflected back in your journey, in that story that you're sharing, and begin to lean in. Maybe not the first time you share it. Maybe they do, right? But over and over, as you consistently share pieces of your story, they're leaning in and they're like, where have you been all my life? Like, are you talking directly to me? Like, what is going on right now? And at that point, as that starts to happen, maybe even before, you start to fall in love with the work that you do again. Your mind becomes like a open faucet of ideas and stories and wisdom and, you know, ultimately content. And you never run out of things to say because you are in a deep relationship with your why. And this is something that I've realized after working with enough people because it really happens almost every time. You begin to remember how powerful your work is and how needed. And that helps you continue to show up and overcome the systematically limited belief that you have nothing to say. Because first of all, you remember that you do have plenty to say. And then secondly, too, that the people that you serve, who you're clear on who they are, first of all, they need to hear it, right? And because you are getting in deeper relationship with them, you are a guide for them, and you know exactly who they are, you become more and more intimately aware about what they're dealing with, what they're Googling at night, what they are talking to their colleagues about in their masterminds and executive forums. And so you have plenty of things to talk about. Because if you are sharing your insights on the things that your clients are already thinking about and wrestling with, you will be seen as a go-to trusted voice that you are, right? So listen, I know you want to stand out as a go-to, influential, trusted voice on LinkedIn, not just to boost your revenue and raise your rates, but to also drive change and build community with other decision makers. That's why I created this free masterclass for people who are serious about turning their LinkedIn into a hub of opportunities without spending a ton of time online or creating content. I'm demystifying LinkedIn once and for all by sharing actual to-do lists and the same insights I've taught to over 50 social impact entrepreneurs so they too can be lazy on LinkedIn. Even by spending 1 hour on LinkedIn, my clients attract aligned, hell yes clients, inspire people to think differently about the misunderstood issues that they work on, and book dreamy podcast spots and paid speaking opportunities. So if you're interested in working with me to build up your brand as an approachable authority, apply for your spot in the free masterclass using the link in the show notes. Okay, back to the episode. So the second big barrier that I hear all the time is I feel invisible. I feel forgotten about on LinkedIn. I post something and then I get discouraged because there's crickets on my post. And so LinkedIn is interesting, and it's interesting for a lot of reasons, but it's interesting because there's over 830 million active users, but only something like 3% of them post content regularly. Maybe that stat has changed a little bit, but it's a very small number. And what that points to is that we have a lot of LinkedIn lurkers. And I remember and realize this every single time I post a really sort of enticing resource that folks have got to enter their email address in to download, because dozens of people end up downloading it who I otherwise would have no idea were engaging in my stuff. So try that and let that be proof that you're being seen and heard and valued more than you think on LinkedIn. Plus, there is a variety of reasons why someone might not engage with your post, especially if it's a spicy post, because I'll just say the flavor of thought leadership is spicy. Because if everyone agrees with what you're saying, then you probably aren't actually saying anything that will lead to systemic change or even an individual person's change in their thoughts or behavior. And so, you know, anyone can do a 101 sort of how-to sort of basic post. And there's nothing actually wrong with that, if you know, but to be really heard and remembered and trust and engaged with, you know, with the people that you truly want to support, that you're light on fire, passionate about helping, you know, share your opinion. You know, think about what is the root cause of the issue that you work on? What is a ahead of your time or controversial take that's related to your work? What are the things that you're afraid is maybe a little bit dicey or spicy or just a little bit too much? You know, lean into that, because those things will help you create trust with the right people. And over time, it will also help you command that high value, high transformation, you know, like price point too, because it means that people aren't price shopping you as one of the three bids they need to get for their internal process. Instead, they're coming to you because they know that you're the one who is equipped to uniquely support their situation. And you might still be thinking, okay, that's fine, that's great, but why do I still have crickets on my spicy content? Here is one possibility that may be it for you. Let's say that you're an executive coach who supports nonprofit EDs with, you know, shifting the culture of their dysfunctional boards. I actually have three different clients who do this in a variety of ways, and they're all amazing. So if that's something you're looking for, you got to let me know. That's just a quick plug for my people. But, you know, anyway, it could be easy for them to feel discouraged about a lack of engagement from their exact target audience. But you have to remember, if that executive director they're looking to work with does like or comment on their spicy post, they know that their board members are potentially going to see it, and it could be a whole thing. Another example, let's say that you are a therapist that supports high-powered executives with burnout, or that you're a fertility coach for female corporate attorneys. Your target audience knows that if they engage with your content or, you know, they leave a comment on there, their boss or their team may see it. And again, that could become a whole thing. And so LinkedIn is just kind of different from Instagram and other platforms in that way, because you're tapping into folks' professional network and their working world. And that can be a double-edged sword, because it can, you know, that's where you want to attract that clientele because that's where they are. But the way that you would engage there is just different from other platforms. And so even if your issue is tamer than the things that I just mentioned, maybe not as spicy, my advice is still the same. Don't worry so much about being LinkedIn famous, because that's not even necessarily going to help you. If your goal is to position yourself as a, you know, niche expert with a higher ticket price point to match, because you're not trying to serve hundreds of people a month. You're probably trying to get something between 2 and 5 contracts, VIP days, or coaching clients each month. So you don't need like tens of thousands of views on every single post. That would honestly be overwhelming, trying to build relationships with all the people who are showing up. And so try not to compare in despair with other people or influencers that you are seeing that are getting tons of engagement, because you probably have a different model of business than them. And you don't necessarily need all those views. Instead, you just want a handful, qualified, like-minded, values-aligned people that are, you know, entering your world. And that relationship building can very well be in the DMs. That's what I would suggest, you know, privately, behind the scenes, where their boss or their board is not, you know, all up in their business. The DMs is mostly where I'm hanging out. So I can actually build connective tissue and the beginnings of a generative relationship with the people who are eventually ending up deeper in my world, right? It does indeed go down in the DMs. So that is, you know, maybe a place that you really want to consider being more so if you're feeling like your posts are getting crickets. Okay, next. So the third big barrier that I hear is, are my opinions even worth sharing? So folks are struggling to have a confident enough voice. They're feeling like they're not an expert in anything. So it's really hard to position themselves as one. And this is something that has really struck me personally as I have been dripping out the curriculum inside the Kindling Collective program. I keep hearing myself say things and then almost discounting them as things that everybody knows. For example, like in the second module, we cover the strategic importance of leading with your vision and how to actually do that. So I'll talk about it and then I'll hear myself saying, oh, but you probably already know that. And I just keep catching myself because the reality is people come to you because they don't know what you know. It's really easy to take our knowledge for granted and have blinders on to our own deep expertise. And that's for a variety of reasons. You know, we're hanging out with business besties and colleagues who have a similar area of knowledge. We consume content and attend conferences and listen to podcasts about our thing to further feed our expertise because we're just like about it, you know? And so ironically, it may feel like you don't know enough about what you do to call yourself an expert, either because you're blinded to it from doing it every single day, or maybe you're always hanging out and learning from people with more experience in it. But it's not like there's a binary of experts and non-experts, right? There's a spectrum. And there are always people who are a few steps ahead of us on the path that we get to look up to and learn from. And there's always people a few steps behind us on the path that we can also collaborate with and maybe who we can mentor. And there are a bunch of people, if like an infinite number of people almost, who know there's a path somewhere that they want to be on and they can't even find it. And so those are the people that we can support if we are sharing our opinions on LinkedIn, because that is shining a light on an entryway to that path for them. And so you are perfectly equipped to serve those folks because you are a relatable expert in comparison, even if you don't always feel like it because you don't have a PhD in your thing, or maybe you're in your first year or two of consulting, you know? So someone who's at that 501 level might not actually even be able to help them in the same way. So I remember when I worked in the mental health and addiction treatment space, we would have speakers come to share their recovery story with our patients. And someone coming in with 50 years of recovery was cool, but someone coming in with like 1 year of recovery was actually more helpful for our patients because they were relatable. They had recently gone through the same types of experiences, and they could speak their language and share their story in a way that landed in an even more approachable and honestly in an even more actionable way. And so what I often see when people feel this barrier of not having confidence in their own opinions is they'll use their business profile or they'll show up on their company LinkedIn, but they're still not sharing their point of view. They're just sharing like stuff. And, you know, what I'll say here is if you lead a bigger company with a team and you want to start sharing your team members' opinions and thought leadership and stories and their why, I think that is awesome. I think that can be really, really great. But if you are the founder or the leader of the team, I think that you had better be sharing your own too. And if you are more of an independent consultant or a solopreneur and you're trying to figure out where to put your energy between building your personal profile or your company profile, my answer is always to focus on your personal brand as a thought leader in your niche, because you probably don't have a huge marketing team backing you up. You probably have limited resources, and it can just be a lot to manage both. And at the end of the day, people want to know the face behind your company. You know, your personal brand is what is going to build that trust, that community, that resonance, and that connective tissue that you want. All right. So lastly, the fourth barrier is, you know, this piece around LinkedIn is really activating or overwhelming because it just feels sterile, professional, white, male, stale. But I know my people are there. I know I need to be there. And so there's this like tension and it doesn't feel good. You know, maybe your LinkedIn is tied up with a previous corporate life before you became a consultant or a coach or a service provider. And it's maybe a life that you kind of want to leave behind. Or maybe you're trying to find your voice in a space that is really polarized. Like you're not something enough for the more kind of radical out there space. And maybe you're too much for the let's ignore all the issues crowd. And that's a really common thing for folks who are trying to imagine a more just future in their space, whether it's DEI or healthcare or climate justice or the nonprofit landscape or something else. And maybe you just don't have a process to turn your that was so cool moments into consistent content. So all of those things can make it feel like just overwhelming. But you know, your people are on LinkedIn and it's not just your clientele, but your decision makers, potential referral partners, podcast hosts, conference conveners, you know, the list just goes on, the people you want to get in front of. And so this is what I think about LinkedIn. LinkedIn can be an amplifier, right? It can be like a megaphone. It's not another place you have to create brand new content. It's a place where you get to share and repurpose what you're already doing. So you can leverage your current speaking engagements, your testimonials, your sweet notes from your clients, your awards, your videos, your podcast interviews. I mean, literally anything that you are doing right now can be repurposed for LinkedIn to be seen by that audience who can help you make shift happen. And yes, I know it can feel like pulling teeth to take the things that you're already proud of and excited about and just packaging it up in a way that you can share with the people who need to know about it on LinkedIn. And this is both a strategy thing and a systematically limited belief thing that really play and intersect with each other. Because many of us, probably all of us, are running from our desk to the grocery store to picking up a kid or a parent. It can be really tough to capture our opinions and our insights in a way that is going to build authority, especially because it's LinkedIn, right? It's one thing to just throw up a story on Instagram. But I know that we feel with LinkedIn that you really have to sound smart and articulate and like polish it up. And to some extent, that is a little bit true, but consider how you can lean into play here instead of perfectionism. And also, how can you do less? Like, how can you take one thing off your calendar and use that time, not even to spend on LinkedIn necessarily, but to rest and to daydream and to create the white space in your brain to actually have an original thought? And what new ways of thinking will come to you as a download from the universe during those times? You know, I feel like sometimes those are the things that move the needle. And if you're listening to this, you probably know I'm all about being lazy on LinkedIn, meaning positioning yourself as a top of mind, trusted voice in one consistent hour per week. Again, like it's about consistency. And so the strategy piece has been taken care of. I have figured out a way to fit this thought leadership work into busy AF schedules, and I'm happy to teach it to you. But our systematically limited beliefs can still make us feel like we don't belong on LinkedIn in the first place. And how we do one thing is how we do everything. I keep getting slapped in the face by that lesson. So let me just say it one more time. How we do one thing is how we do everything. So if you're avoiding or hiding from spaces that feel like a stretch, whether that's virtually on something like LinkedIn or in person for something like a conversation, you know, that's going to be like a little hard or a conflict. I mean, nothing changes. So it's our fractal responsibility to change our relationship with these spaces and decide that we are enough to be there. And that brave action ripples out in ways that we can't even imagine right now. That is where the magic happens. So I'm going to leave you with that, and I will see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This episode was brought to you by my group coaching program, The Kindling Collective. If you like this episode, you are going to love my free masterclass all about thought leadership on LinkedIn. I'm sharing the same proven three-step framework I also teach in the Kindling Collective to spark change and raise revenue. You'll learn how to grow your influence and your visibility. And yes, we are definitely talking about overcoming that itty-bitty shitty committee too. After all, your work is way too important to stay a best-kept secret. So grab your link to apply in the show notes and I'll see you there. What'd you think? Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or even better, reach out and let me know through lumosmarketing.co. Yes, that's Lumos, as in the illumination spell from Harry Potter. Because when you shine, magical things happen. You can get social with me on LinkedIn, and of course, check out the show notes to stay in touch with our guests. Let's talk soon.